And welcome, everyone, to another episode of the Developing Up Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Miles, and this is the podcast focused on the non-technical side of being a developer, because your career is about more than the code you write. So if you call yourself a programmer, a developer, a script kiddie, a database administrator, a technologist, a technical architect, whatever you call yourself, if it's your job to write code, this is the podcast for you. And to all the new listeners out there, I want to say welcome, thanks for joining us. And for all the repeat listeners, hey, thanks for coming back and listening to another episode.
And this is episode 36, that's 36, which means the show notes for this episode are available at developingup.com/36. So I'm excited for this episode for a number of reasons. The first and foremost, if you're listening the day this episode was released, then you're hearing this episode from Germany. I'm speaking at a conference here in Germany, and it happened to fall on the day that I released my podcast episode, so Guten Tag. Hello from Germany. The second is this is the first episode to be released since the Developing Up podcast has been brought onto Spotify. So if you're not subscribed to us on Spotify yet, go onto Spotify, look up Developing Up, and subscribe there. And the third and most important reason is for the topic of today's conversation. I sat down at a conference with Brian Perry, who is a senior front-end developer for HS2 Solutions in Chicago. And what we ended up talking about was the importance of being able to adapt as a developer and how that helps you in your career growth and your capabilities. An interesting thing that Brian brings to the table is he used to be an improv comic, and he actually ties that in pretty well. So if you want to learn how you can use some skills from improv comedy to help improve your development capabilities, this is the episode for you. So what you're going to hear now is me and Brian talking about learning how to adapt. Thank you for taking the time out of this conference we're at to speak with me about tech stuff or non-tech stuff, but developer stuff.
No problem.
Give our listeners a little background on who you are, your development history.
I'm Brian Perry. I work at a company, HS2 Solutions in Chicago now. My title is interactive developer. Kind of my path to that was a little varied. So I studied computer science in college, but somehow came out of that with the feeling that I didn't want to write code for a living, which is probably not what that's supposed to do for you. So I ended up working at a software company that did web analytics software, but I went kind of through like pre-sales and then eventually into product management. So for a number of years, I worked as a product manager, still on mostly like web stuff. Then eventually kind of was trying to figure out if it was the product management role at the company that I was at or just doing product management in general. And then I worked at Pearson, the publisher, also in a product management role. But then I was focused on user experience, and it became pretty clear to me that I wanted to be hands-on and build the things that I was defining. So that was probably at this point like 8 years ago. And so I started freelancing. I still had kind of kept up with web stuff as like a hobbyist, but started freelancing to kind of gain some experience and build my resume. At that point, I freelanced for a couple of years, and then since then I've started working for agencies. And also within that, I was also trying to figure out kind of what my focus within development is. I've definitely come to the conclusion that front end is what interests me the most and where I like to focus my efforts. So that's the not so short story of how I ended up where I am.
So it sounds to me like you kind of went full circle from school,
yeah,
like not development, just to come back to it, because that's kind of what you did want to do.
I certainly could have saved myself a little time in hindsight.
But I'm sure from that, you had to learn how to change and think differently and adapt to either changing the technology, especially leaving for so long and then coming back to it,
yep,
and just the different work environments you were involved with.
Especially when I decided I wanted to get back into development, so much had changed that, a lot of what I had learned previously was somewhat irrelevant. And I think in general, that was a good lesson for me in that I kind of always assume that it's important to keep up. And every couple of years, the things that I've learned before are not going to be as relevant, or there might be new, better ways to do things. And, that's something that everybody learns. But I kind of came into doing this day to day knowing that that's how the world works.
If you're a developer for any amount of time, you just said it, you're going to learn this lesson that being able to adapt and change to your surroundings, to your team, your job, the technologies you work with,
yep,
it's going to prevent you. What I think it prevents you from doing is being like bottlenecked or wedged into a dead end of technologies, and you know, finding yourself maybe without a drive or a job or just a way to move into what's relevant and find that next step in your career.
Yeah, it's great, but also can be horrifying. Recently, I've had the opportunity to do some talks in schools. I did at my wife's school, I did their career day recently, and then HS2 did an hour of code at a local junior high as well. And one of the things that I said at both of those was, you know, to figure out if this is something that you want to do, you should ask yourself if you like the idea of not always knowing the answer or like often not knowing the answer. I mean, that applies to like, you know, the sort of stuff that we have to take on, but also the continuing evolving technology and, you know, which JavaScript framework is the cool one today and all that stuff.
One of the important things to highlight for this way of approaching your development career with being adaptable and changeable is one of the benefits or the cases you'll come against is when you're working in a project, say, and you are dead set on doing something one way and the data tells you it needs to be different, or the client comes back and says, this needs to be different. There are two ways you could approach that that I've seen work well and not work well is that, nope, this is the plan we came up with. This is how we're going to stick to it. You know, I don't care the consequences. I'm dead set on doing this. And that can cause problems.
The thing that it actually brings to mind for me, the balance of either knowing or wanting to try newer approaches versus the things that you've done in the past and know that you can do and know that you can do well. And if you have one way that you want to approach things, it's important to hear the alternatives and kind of understand why. And I think my background as a product manager actually helps a lot there, in that I had to gain the skill of describing things and defining things in a way that wasn't implementation specific. And then that let me hear, you know, how people would approach the implementation, and seeing how that kind of fits into the kind of constraints I'm trying to define was always really interesting.
So is that learning how to explain like technical solutions to non-technical people?
Yeah.
And then from there, learning you could hear either gaps or other ways that it could be interpreted to be implemented?
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like you can think of like writing a user story, right? And, you know, everybody approaches that kind of differently. But what I would try to do is write it in relatively plain language so that the functional requirements are clear. But unless there was some really important reason to say that, you know, you have to use this technology or implement it in this particular way, that sort of stuff was up to the developer.
For any listeners who don't know what user stories are, you basically use plain English, like Brian said, where you write, as a certain type of user, when this action happens, then I expect this outcome. And great use of user stories is defining business needs without getting into functional requirements, so that you could give that to one person, like you're saying, Brian, in that they could develop it one way. As long as it meets those requirements, it solves the needs of the business, of your client, of whomever.
Yep.
You can give it to somebody else, they could do it a completely different way, but it's still has the end results that you want. So it frees you from saying, this is exactly how we're going to do it. And if this doesn't work, then what are we going to do now? It's, this is the outcome we want. Let's figure out how to do it. And you can be a little more flexible with it. You can be a little more creative. That's where I find user stories help with your development career, is allowing you to that creativity, that freedom to adapt your skills and knowledge.
Yeah, one thing that's interesting for me as someone who's been on both sides of the user story is making sure that the requirements in the user story define things clearly functionally, but then also finding a place to have like technical guidance. Like, you know, maybe I'd start by looking at this, you know, framework or module or something like that. That balance is kind of interesting. And I still think it's important to give the person who's implementing something the freedom to kind of figure out what they think is the best way to do it. But you also don't want to have people waste their time and go down a direction that you have to guide them out of. So it's a really delicate line.
If you work with a team, using user stories from that perspective gives you a chance. Then you can talk as a team, all right, how are we going to solve this need? Here's my idea. And then you get those other inputs saying, well, if we do it this way, you may hit these issues. Let's try it this way. We may hit these issues. And
yep.
You start getting those different perspectives, and you could come out with something, one, learning something that you didn't even know was possible, or just implementing with someone's idea who they thought of an avenue you didn't think of before. And it gives you that kind of adaptability to adjust based on the team's input and not just like one person saying, this is how it has to be done. That gains a lot for junior developers. If you're a senior developer and you want to kind of guide junior developers, using that opportunity to say, well, how would you do this? Let me show you what, you know, what issues may come up with doing that way. Let's figure out a better solution. I think also, especially if you're in the web world, just adapting to new technologies and the changes that are coming, and not that you have to always be bleeding edge, but being aware about what's coming and being able to adjust yourself to learn those new things is important for your career to stay relevant. I assume, you know, when you came out of school and you've decided not to go down the dev path at first, the major technologies were slightly different than when you came back and they were, you know, new or more robust. So,
I mean, it was hard. It was definitely hard. But I think the thing that has always helped me is that even when I wasn't writing code for a living, it was always something I was interested in. So I'd still make websites and do side projects and stuff like that. So while nobody was paying me to do it, I still kind of kept my ear to the ground a little bit. And now I think that what helps me keep up with changes is that I just really enjoy this stuff. So I always find ways to experiment with things, work on side projects. And another thing about my background that we didn't talk about is that I used to do comedy, mostly improv, for a number of years. I don't do it so much anymore, but probably longer than I've been developing professionally, I did do that.
Do you want me to give you a scenario, a person, and a...
No, God, no. No short form games, nothing like that. What drove me to improv was the feeling of constant learning. And, you know, because you were always finding ways to be better as a comedian, more on your, you know, on your toes, and, you know, there's no real way to prepare, it was just such a constant feeling of making progress. I've kind of realized recently that I think what motivates me to learn more as a developer and just motivates me as a developer is that finding a way to keep that feeling of constant learning going, which, you know, with some of the responsibilities that we have on like client projects and things like that, can be hard.
Especially the improv bit, I could see how that experience gives you the chance to react to the situations as they change. So I don't know how client facing you are, or how often you run into a situation where you expected a response from someone when you implemented your work or you approached your work and they came at it completely different and you're thrown off guard.
Yep.
I'm sure every developer here can experience that, and having that, if you're used to changing situations and adapting to change, then you probably can, you don't like freeze in that situation because you haven't planned for it, but you're not so stuck in your one path that you're willing to take a step back and look at, all right, what are the different paths? How can we respond to this? How can we work together?
Yeah, and I think you just have to, in that situation, basically approach it like trying to understand where they're coming from and what they're trying to get at. So even if you are concerned about what they're suggesting that you do, or you're you know, worried that it might be technically challenging or have a scope impact, I think just talking through it and understanding where they're coming from can be really useful. The thing that you definitely have to learn, especially when you're client-facing in that situation, is you just don't want to say things in such a way that they feel that you're committing to it.
Mm-hmm.
It takes some time to get comfortable with that. But once you can get past that, I think even if it's like a moonshot crazy idea, the process of having that conversation can be really helpful.
You may take a step back and be like, whoa, that seems like really hard. Instead, coming to them and say, well, what I heard you say was... and repeating back what they said,
yeah,
the way you understood it. And then you keep doing that until they say, yes, that's exactly what it was. That's what I meant. And then when you do that enough times, it takes you away from, they may have said, I need, you know, a form that does these crazy things. You say, well, what I heard was you need to collect people's information. Is that correct? And
yep.
They say, yeah. And then you're like, all right, great. I'm taking you a step back from that crazy requirement. And that gives me the flexibility to figure out the way to deliver it to you.
That's definitely the way to go about it. Sometimes it feels ridiculous, like almost as if you're in some sort of like marriage counseling exercise. What I think you're feeling is, but yeah, that's definitely the way you can get to the bottom of it.
Without needing to step up on an improv stage, give us like improv 101 for devs.
One of the big like improv rules is yes and. So if someone like makes an offer to you on the improv stage, you're supposed to accept it and build on top of it. At its face value, that is a bit of a dangerous proposition as a developer sometimes, in that sometimes you have to be able to say no or have like qualified acceptance. But I kind of just take that as being as open to things as you possibly can. So take the example of on, you know, a client call where you're trying to understand requirements better. You hear something that you are concerned about. You don't like, no, sorry, we can't do that. It's more kind of digging into it. And you know, if you, you know, run into some sort of challenge on, you know, something that you're working on, just even if you didn't come into it with, you know, you might have had a certain way that you expected to do things, but when you run into some sort of roadblock, you have to be open to all of the additional possibilities as how you might approach something, even though you came into it with a certain expectation. And then just another thing that I think applies is basically just using the opportunity to talk things out, basically, be it just with people that you work with or at meetups or, you know, speaking at conferences or something as an opportunity to learn. It's a little bit tangential, but when I first started talking about technical topics, I found it really hard because I was not necessarily used to being tied down by facts, is one way to say it. And then also, it just took me a while to be comfortable either presenting myself as an expert or figuring out the situations where I had to or when it wasn't necessarily as important. So it took me some time to learn that I can use public speaking or just, you know, working with other people as an opportunity to, like, openly learn. And the fact that I don't know things is fine.
That's great.
Yeah. But when I say that out loud, that's exactly what improv is. The fact that you don't know what you're doing and what you're stepping on stage to do, it's always fine. It's always going to work out. The people on your improv team are going to support you. And that's exactly what, you know, being on a dev team is.
Same thing. Same exact thing.
All you got to do is let me talk about improv long enough and it will somehow relate back to development.
Well, I do like that you brought up, you know, yes, and there was actually a season one episode where we talked about being able to say yes, and then either no, but, or yes, if. So with your scenario of you're on a client call and they say some requirement that you're like, whoa, that's crazy. You don't say, no, we can't do that. You can say, no, but we could do it this way. Or yes, if, you know, you have the budget of Google, then we could do that. You kind of put conditions yep. around it instead of just shutting it down, but you keep the conversation moving.
There's also, you know, if you think a little bit more on the improv side of things, a lot of people like misinterpret that yes and rule to say that like you literally can't say no. Like when you're on stage, you should never say no to somebody. And as you learn more, you realize that if your character would say no, that still like acknowledges their offer. Hmm. So like if you're a type of person who is afraid of skydiving and it's been clearly established and your scene partner is like, we should go skydiving, it would actually make sense for your your character to say no. So it just has to, there has to be like a reason behind the cases where you say no. You can't just say no because you didn't think about it or consider it. But if you have a valid reason to say no, no is really important sometimes.
It is important to be able to say it. So the last thing I want to ask you before we wrap up is what would be your one piece of career advice for developers out there?
I personally would say expect that your career path is going to change in ways that you don't expect. and I think that actually is often a good sign. You just can never really know where you're going to go. And then other piece of advice that I would give is to try to still find a way to do things that you're doing for the love of it and for the fun of it. And it can be really hard, you know, if you have, you know, day-to-day billable hourly responsibilities, how can you still find time either, you know, within your, you know, regular work week to still do stuff that you find just explicitly fun and interesting? Or how do you balance that with the work-life balance? And I don't have an easy answer for that, but I think it's important to always keep trying to find some place for that, even if it's just a tiny little sliver.
Keep the love, expect the unexpected.
There you go.
All right. Thank you for sitting down. It was great to talk with you. Great running into you. And
yeah, thanks for having me.
So I want to thank Brian again for taking the time to have that really fun conversation, even though we didn't do any improv skits. I thought it was very fruitful. If you want to know any more about Brian, you can find him on Twitter at Bri Comedy. That's B-R-I Comedy. At his website, brianperryinteractive.com, or the company he works for, HS2 Solutions at hs2solutions.com. So just a couple of things to take away from that conversation. I know we
we flexed and we stretched what we were talking about and went in a couple different directions, but I think there was an underlying thing about being adaptable. And the number one thing about that in your development career is that if you can be adaptable, then you're not going to get stuck in a single path. And this comes in the form of a single path of the problem you're trying to solve, a single path of where you want to go in your development career, a single path of what you want to work on. If you can become more adaptable and flexible in your approaches and what you want to achieve, that opens up many more opportunities for yourself. So keep that in mind next time you're approaching, you know, requirements, instead of going at it directly from one technical approach that you know, taking a step back, working with your team, listening to other approaches, and then being flexible with how you might go about it and seeing what that might get you. If you want to listen to a couple more key takeaways that I had from this conversation with Brian, they are in the show notes. Again, that's at developingup.com/36. And if you want to share your further thoughts and opinions about this episode or any episode or just development in general, there's a number of outlets you can use. So there's the website, developingup.com, that features our full library of recorded episodes with show notes and sections for comments and conversations. You can find us on Twitter at DevUpPodcast or myself personally at MikeMiles86, or send a good old-fashioned email at hello@developingup.com or to me at Mike@developingup.com. And I'd greatly appreciate your help in reaching a wider development audience. If you could leave a rating and review on iTunes or Stitcher or Google Play or wherever you get your podcast, it helps other developers find this podcast and get better at their careers. So until the next episode, I wish you happy developing.